Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Are you familiar with GFI 256 guidance and compounding? And what does that mean? Well, I didn't know either until our wonderful friend that's going to be joining us here, CEO of Wedgewood Pharmacy, Marcy Bliss, is going to talk to us and about all things compounding and her journey. It's really fascinating. So how are you, Marcy?
I'm great today. How are you?
So good. Thank you so much for being on the show, and really excited to learning more about so many different things, because I mean, veterinary medicine, when I think of vet med, Marcy, I think of like compounding pharmacy is truly like the backbone to what we do every day. I mean, if you really stop and think about it, right, it's like there's so much that we use with compounding. So it's fascinating. Okay. So I want to know a little bit more about you too, because this is interesting. And to our listeners, listen to this. So Marcy is the CEO of Wedgewood Pharmacy, the leading compounding pharmacy of animals in the U.S. She's responsible for all aspects of the pharmacy operation and for leading the delivery of extraordinary business results. So in 2018, Wedgewood acquired Diamondback Pharmacy Drugs. Formerly the executive vice president of business operations and marketing, Marcy began her career with Wedgewood Pharmacy in early 1999. And I want to pause there for a second, because In the years you have been with Wedgewood, what has compounding looked like from, like, gosh, 1999 to where we are now in 2022?
That's a great question. So I think when I started in 1999, and by the way, I was employee number 8. So it was a very small business. It was in a strip mall. And I think the story of Wedgewood Pharmacy mirrors the story of many successful businesses. So I'd love to share some of that with you today, because yes, I think it's good to know. How does a business grow from 8 employees to now 850 employees?
So, oh my goodness. So
that would be an exciting thing to share. But anyway, back then when I started in 1999, mostly Wedgewood Pharmacy served some of human health specialty areas like urology and addiction medicine, but also the equine market. There had been, Stairs Labs had shut down at that point, and there were many injectable medications that equine veterinarians used that were all of a sudden not available in the marketplace. And Wedgewood Pharmacy already had a clean room. We were doing sterile work in the human health side, and they started compounding for equine veterinarians. Then in 99, a couple of important small animal drugs went on backwater or were removed from the human health market that were important. Propulsid was one of those drugs. I don't know if
drug,
Misopride, right? Liquiflor was another one of those drugs, you know, for otic use, and kanamycin for diarrhea. And who wants to not have medication to treat that, right?
Right.
So those three drugs went on backwater all in the same quarter in 1999. And we just leaned into the small animal market to serve the needs of the veterinarians. At that time, veterinarians may have been doing compounding themselves. They may have been crushing, you know, finished goods, adding, you know, putting it in a suspension, adding some flavoring to try to make it more palatable. But compounding pharmacies really started to lean in to take it to the next level. So that's kind of looks very different today than it did back then.
Right. And so, yeah, so we're talking about growth for the business. And, you know, again, to our listeners about Wedgewood Pharmacy, they've won multiple awards. And Marcy's been recognized by Markham as the 2017 Healthcare Innovator of the Year. And in 2018, as one of New Jersey's 50 most powerful women in business. So, you know, it just doesn't happen overnight, Marcy, of course, with all those great accolades. So you've gone from this smaller business of where 8 employees, you were saying, to over 800. So talk to me and walk me through that. What has that been like for you in that journey?
Well, it is a journey. So that's a good way to describe it, or an adventure is an even better way to describe it, because, you know, there's a lot of, as a business grows, and first of all, the way a business grows, from my perspective, is having an obsession with the customer, right? Really listening to the customer and making sure over and over and over again, you're focused on what does the customer need? What experience can I deliver for the customer? Very early on in the practice, we were surveying veterinarians. What do you need? How do you want it? What products can we bring to assist you when you have difficult to treat patients with unique needs that only compounding can provide a solution for. So a real obsession with the customer is the key to any business growth, right? So, but over the years, you know, it was the CEO at that time was the founder, one of the two founders, George Malmberg, and Lucy Malmberg, his wife, founded the business, and myself and people that worked in the lab and at the front counter. So it was a very small practice. So as a business grows, you have to continue to identify what systems and processes and people you need to support the growth of the business. And we continually do that even today. So, you know, we had to staff up a management team of professional managers. We had to bring in people that had backgrounds in quality or backgrounds in finance specifically, or backgrounds in human resources from other, oftentimes larger companies that bring kind of a larger company experience to bear on a smaller growing company. So so it has been quite exciting and it's paid off. You know, customers really respond to our listening and are developing either our online experience or developing the products and the dosage forms and the flavors and the strengths that meet their needs and the needs of their unique patients. So that's where we stay focused.
I love that you're talking about being customer obsessed and listening to the client needs. To me, when I hear about this, especially in the world of compounding, it boils down to one powerful word for everyone out there listening. And I think it's compliance. And, you know, clients are frustrated. How can I medicate them? You know, I can't pill this doctor. And even my clients will actually walk out of the exam room. They'll give me the head nod. Yes, they can do this. But then they'll go to the CSR. I'm like, I can't pill my dog. Are there other options? So what are some other examples of those unique needs that you're hearing in that sector?
Yes, I think you're right on point that compliance still remains a huge challenge in the animal health space. And I think not enough customers, as you say, articulate that to their veterinarian either. They're afraid to say that I don't have how to give it, or they think they're going to go home and put it in peanut butter or cheese right. And everything will work out just fine. Then they get home and they realize, like, my dog doesn't like peanut butter. So, you know, they have challenges administering the medication, and that might mean the patient doesn't get the medication. So we actually are taking on a consumer education campaign where we can, our goal there is to help pet owners become more empowered to know if you can't administer this medication to your pet, come back to your veterinarian, ask for alternatives, take action, because there are other alternatives. So I think that's where, you know, we certainly have many, many different flavors of medications and dosage forms to make administration easier, including transdermal dosage forms for feline patients often, but also the strengths, right? If you have a pill that's a human health drug that needs to be fractionated into 6 equal pieces, well, you're not going to get that done, right? So you need something that's formulated in a strength that is appropriate for the patient. Because once you're asking the pet owner to fractionate a pill 6 times, or to give 4 of these pills, or in the case of a horse, to give 100 of these pills, the chance of compliance goes down. So that's the game we're in. How do we help veterinarians to give a medication that is more likely to get in the patient? And then how do we help educate our pet owners in the community that if they're struggling with that, that they can turn to their veterinarian for alternatives? So that's kind of the game we're in. Many of our most popular drugs, we might have in 7 different dosage forms and 140 different strengths.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of crazy, right?
All right. Unbelievable. Yeah. And when I think of the mission of Wedgewood Pharmacy, so to the listeners, I'll share my story. We use Wedgewood Pharmacy all the time. We've been using it for years. And I want to share with everyone the fact that how important it is to align with a company, compounding pharmacy, that has the same quality, if not even better, customer service. And when I have my clients that said, thank you so much for connecting me, or thank you for giving me this medication, I'm sure that's got to be one of the wonderful missions that you have with Wedgewood Pharmacy, right?
It is. Our mission actually stated is to help, you know, to improve the lives of animals and those who love them. So that includes all types of animals. We make medication, not just for dogs and cats and horses, but exotic animals, wildlife, So it's a broad range of animals that we treat, and there's a broad range of people that love them, right? People that work at shelters and rescues, not just pet owners, people who work at zoos and take care about wildlife animals. So we're all about really that obsession with helping veterinarians thrive and helping to improve the lives of animals and those who love them. So that's what it's all about.
It really is. And you know, there's a hot topic that we talk a lot more about. We've been talking about this on the show is spectrum of care. You know, what is truly the gold standard these days? And it really may not be because we all have different budgets. And I think what I love about when we talk about compounding, we work within those budgets as well. And I want our listeners, my colleagues, to understand that as well. When, you know, really understand and listen to the wants and needs of our clients, because they will be willing to have better peace of mind knowing that their pets are being delivered and dosed accurately with the medications without the compromise of the human animal bond. Like I say this a lot to my clients. I'm like, I want you to enjoy them. It's my job to be the doctor. Don't have to be the doctor cap on. So if you struggle with pilling and administering, please let our team know so we can do that. So I think it's wonderful that you share that. And I also think of, you know, with Wedgewood and other companies, you always have to have a long-term vision. And I know COVID's changed everything. So what are some of the long-term visions that you have?
Well, I think there's some like fundamental principles that we've been working from. One is our people, right? You have to take care of your people first. And so we want people who love what they do and who feel like they can be successful in what they do. So we do have a focus on our employees. If your employees aren't happy, they're not going to deliver a good experience to your customers. So that's number one. You know, we have career pathing for our employees. We have training for our employees. We pay for educational reimbursement, things like that. So good benefits, we take care of our employees, number one. The second one I already mentioned, we have an obsession with helping veterinarians thrive. As you know, and as every veterinarian out there knows, the market is changing very quickly. Yeah. Things are moving very quickly between consolidation and online pharmacy and et cetera, et cetera. There's just a lot of change. And I've never seen things changing so rapidly as things are changing today. So our obsession with helping veterinarians thrive is how do we make it easier for you to do business with us? How do we make it easier for you to work with your pet owner and make sure they're taken care of? How do we streamline all of our, you know, digital systems to provide information that you need, information that your pet owners need? How do we communicate more effectively? So we're really working on that as kind of the second of five pillars. The third is this idea of empowering pet owners, right? Is making sure they know there are alternatives. If you're struggling to give a medication, go see your veterinarian. There are alternatives. So empowering pet owners is kind of our third pillar there. Our fourth pillar is just ensuring that we deliver the right product at the right time in the right place. And right product means quality, right? So a high quality preparation that's accurate, that is what it says on the label, that has a validated beyond use date. So we know it's good. And, you know, just delivering that faster. So we are very, very focused on how do we speed the delivery of the medication to the veterinarian and to the pet owner. So very, very focused on that. Our fifth pillar really is all about the regulatory environment. I know we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Yeah. A changing regulatory environment is not good for the industry. Nobody has time for that. Nobody wants to focus on that. And, you know, having regulations changing around us all the time are not good, which is why our goal there is to have a stable and predictable regulatory environment. And that's why we're focused on compliance with the GFI versus pushing back on it right now. So we're really, really committed to bringing that stable environment to the industry, helping pharmacists understand how to do that as well as veterinarians.
Yeah, I chuckle at this because, you know, here we were talking about compliance for pet owners, but now we have to kind of pivot a little bit and talk about how we can comply both as veterinarians and pharmacies now that we just talked about the changing landscape of our industry. So share with the listeners a little bit about the GFI 256 guidance and what does that mean?
So the GFI really, over many years, FDA has been asserting that it should regulate compounding from bulk drug substances in animal health. So to facilitate that, they recently released a final guidance to kind of frame up their current thinking. And this guidance is called the GFI 256. It stands for the Guidance for Industry for Animal Health Compounding from Bulk drug substances. So it's a long title. The short title of it is GFI 256. Now, this is not a law or regulation. It's not a statute, but the agency has announced its intention to enforce, primarily through pharmacy enforcement. And what I think it's all about, and you know, I can't speak for the FDA, and they do have in the first couple of pages of the document reasoning for why they created this guidance. But for me, I think the broad intent is to ensure that if a veterinarian can use commercial products, that they do so, and that compounding is used for its intended purpose, which is really to provide customized medication when that veterinarian determines that an FDA-approved product is not the best treatment for patients. So either it's a compliance issue, like you said, or the drug isn't available in the marketplace, like potassium bromide, or the drug needs to be changed from, you know, maybe it's available as a tablet, it needs to be an injectable or an ophthalmic drug. So the FDA, I think, really just wants to ensure the appropriate use of compounded medication. Of course, we believe veterinarians are already using it appropriately, but the FDA wants to put this guidance in place, I think, to put some guardrails and a framework around that.
So it can be frustrating because I'm listening to you and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're so busy in practice, Marcy.
I know.
You're so busy. So, you know, I guess just to reemphasize it, why is it important for both veterinarians and pharmacies to comply with this?
Well, I think that the important thing is this idea of this stable and predictable regulatory environment, right? Once we get it going, and the burden, the heavy lifting here should be on the pharmacies, not on the veterinarians. That's our intent, right? That we're going to do the heavy lifting. We're going to do the hard work and make it as easy as possible for veterinarians to comply, because you guys are very busy and things are, you know, really crazy in the clinic. I know we employ a lot of veterinary technicians in our contact center, and they understand, they're empathetic with where veterinarians live right now. Right.
Good.
So I think that our intent is to, like, for example, one of the provisions of the GFI is that they want veterinarians to have access for office use products. So that's either for administration or dispensing, on a limited list of products that have been nominated and approved by the agency. So that nomination process, again, the industry, pharmacy industry, not veterinary industry, is taking the burden of those nominations. So Wedgewood has nominated over 80 drug families for office use to the FDA right now. I'm encouraged because the FDA is moving those nominations to a list very quickly, an under review list. And as long as those product families are on the under review list, it means we can still provide them in states that permit it to veterinarians directly for office use. So again, the burden of that, the heavy lifting, you know, is being taken on by the industry. And Wedgewood Pharmacy is the number one nominator of all the people doing that work. So another thing veterinarians don't have to take on that pharmacies do is if we're compounding from bulk substances, we have to document why. So what's the rationale there for using bulk drug substances? And there's several other provisions, but that just gives you a sense of it.
Right. I mean, gosh, we use a lot of bulk substances. I know that, you know, so it's good that there's going to be some nominations that are going to happen. So what does the compliance look like for veterinarians and the entire team? What does that look like?
For veterinarians, there are going to be a few changes, right? They're going to have, when they place an order, if they don't know whether something's permitted for office use or whether it has to be prescribed for a specific patient, you know, hopefully the pharmacy is going to know that. We're going to know that at Wedgewood Pharmacy. We're on top of these lists and the FDA moving things to the under review list or the positive list or the negative list. And by the way, the negative list does not mean that a veterinarian cannot order a drug made from bulk drug substances. It just means they have to order it for a specific patient and they need to provide a clinical rationale if that's a copy of a drug. So compliance for a veterinarian looks like they go to place an order and the pharmacy tells them, yes, you can order this for the office, or you need a patient-specific prescription for this. And if that drug is considered a copy by FDA, and there's a little uncertainty there of what it means, what a copy means, then we're going to have to capture clinical rationale. And again, pharmacies are trying to make it as easy as possible. I think FDA actually did a good job giving some plain language examples in the GFI, but it's going to be like, you know, this drug is not in the market, or this drug is, you know, not the right strength. It can't be doubled or split in half to give to the men, or there's an ingredient like xylitol that's toxic for the animal, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It needs to be flavored for compliance. So the veterinarian is just going to have to take one more step, and hopefully we'll make it as easy as possible to take that step to provide that clinical rationale.
Wow, really fascinating too. And I mean, big shout out to Wedgwood for, you know, kind of being a leader and taking this initiative, because it's not easy. So thank you for all that you're doing. So where can our listeners find out more about Wedgwood Pharmacy?
Well, thank you. About Wedgwood Pharmacy, you can certainly go to our wedgwoodpharmacy.com website. Information on the GFI specifically, we have lots of great information that we're keeping up to date, like what drugs have been nominated, for example. That can be found on info.wedgwoodpharmacy/GFI. So that webpage, info.wedgwoodpharmacy/GFI, will give you up-to-date information on the positive list, the negative list, the under review list. Also, we have a white paper there about why compounding pharmacies use bulk ingredients versus finished goods. We have a survey that we did of veterinarians. It was shocking to find out that 90% of veterinarians that we surveyed didn't even know the GFI had been finalized. And, you know, the original implementation date was October 1st, right? Friday. Right. So thankfully, the FDA has moved that date into April of next year. That gives us 6 more months to educate veterinarians and to, you know, build the systems we need to make it as easy as possible on veterinarians to comply.
Fantastic. Well said. And, you know, Marcy, I want to thank you for being on the show, but I also, just on a personal level, want to thank the folks at Wedgwood Pharmacy. Your team has been, I mean, I tell you, I'm practicing for 18 years and I've been using them for a long time, even before then as a technician. And thank you for, on behalf of all my patients, really, I want to thank you so much for just delivering such wonderful medicine and top-notch care. It really is wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much. We love our customers. We love working with veterinarians and pet owners, and we hire people that love that too. So that, right. That we get it. We get that, you know, we're between a pet that needs medication and getting that medication, and everybody's working towards making sure we can deliver that in a very high quality way.
Yeah, you really do. Do a wonderful job at it. And a fun little side note, listeners, if you ever go to the live events and catch the Wedgwood Pharmacy booth, you have to stop by, say hello to all of them. They're so much fun to hang out with. And they also have the best toys.
Yes, you can pick up one of our stuffed ponies or stuffed puppies or, yes, definitely. And nail files. Nail files are a big hit at those trade shows. So we'll be at Western Vet. We do a lot of the state meetings. So please do stop by and join us. You know, we'll have information for you about, we get 1,000 requests a month for new formulas that we haven't made before. So we can provide information on what's new on the GFI or whatever else you're curious about in the compounding space.
Oh, excellent. Well, Marcy Bliss, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the opportunity. We really appreciate it. And it's always fun to be with you.
Absolutely. I'll thank you so much. Thank you. Well, we want to thank our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate this awesome podcast. Thank you for all the hard work that you're doing out there. Continue to do it and stay safe out there. We'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.